Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The believers form a community. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, a call to persevere. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear my voice, even for people at home. I know we normally have problems at times. I bring the word of God to us today, and as we have heard from Paul, we are going to be looking at discipleship. And I think it is called shift instead of discipleship, because we as a community, Ready Baptist Church community, we want to encourage ourselves and to challenge us to move on to the next level, even in our work with the Lord, as an individual and as a community of believers. And that was why we read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, from verses 42 to 47. Because that is when the first community of believers were formed after Pentecost. So they've been with Jesus. He died, he rose, he ascended to heaven. He asked them not to do anything until they are empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that has happened in the early verses in chapter 2. Now we come to where they form a community of believers. This is before they were identified as Christians. This is before they start calling them Christians. So they were a community of believers. And we believe that is a good place for us to start to look at as a community of believers in Ready Baptist Church. Because whatever they model for us there is good enough for us to be able to do, so that we can impact our community and take the world just as they did in those days. Now, the first thing I want to start with, because my focus is on individual disciple. So, you know, when they talk to you at times, they say, don't take this personal. Please take this sermon personal. It is a very personal sermon. It addresses us as an individual. I know some people are sitting in front of me as couple, but please, for the time being, forget about the person beside you. This message is for you. It is for me. Because you see, what we are made to understand in the book of Mark, when Jesus was calling his disciples, is that he called them one by one. You see, the calling of the disciple, he didn't just make them up one day. In each of their journey, they were called one by one as an individual. And then when it comes to the book of 1 Peter 2:5, when Jesus said he's going to build his church, he said he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now I have to cast my mind back to what building is. I have a privilege of observing builders when they were building on few occasions, when I had my front wall knocked down one day by children kicking footballs at it. And I observed the way they build. You see, they take each brick, one hand on the brick, and they have this spatula, this thing that they have. So at one time, a brick will be picked, a tool in hand, they shake it, and then they fix it into where it's supposed to go to. One at a time. The builder did not bring the bag containing the brick and just dump it and say, here you are, fall into places. No. So what it means is that in the building of the church of God, at one point or the other, the master will hold you as an individual in his hand, as a person. That is why it is very important for us to look at our responsibility as an individual disciple, because Jesus pays attention to us as an individual. He touches us as a person. The building that God is building, which is his church, is not a fixed building that he said, now all done, I have finished. It is a living body. So the work of building is progressive and continuous. He is continually building his church until that glorious day when the Bible says, like a bride, he will then present us before the Father. So what that means is, we are work in progress, under construction. On this side of heaven, you can never come to the conclusion that God has finished with me. He has fixed me in, work done. No, it is a living body being built every time. So in your journey as a disciple, God is working on you as a person, as an individual. And this is the lively stone that we then come together. We then come together and we form really Baptist Church community. A disciple that is called by Jesus, called by Jesus, by your name as a person. A disciple that is worked on by the master builder, one at a time. He won't pick Trevor and Janet at the same time and say, no, because it's one hand on the brick, one hand on the tool, one at a time. And then as he's building us, we then come together to form a community. That is why it is a personal sermon today, for you and me to take a look at ourselves again on how well we are doing in our personal walk with Jesus. In the book of Acts chapter 2 that we have read, if you flip back to the time that the Holy Spirit came as well, you see, I read this again and I was like, wow. When he was talking about when that wind came into the room where they were, all the disciples, in verse 2 he said, then what looked like a flame or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when that mighty wind came into the room, just imagine as we are sitting here, the Holy Spirit came as a mighty wind into this room and filled up this place. And all of us were filled with the Spirit. But the Bible was careful to record that at one time, the flame rested on each one of them. There is nothing like a corporate, let's move along. Let's just move along with everybody. You can't hide. The Holy Spirit will fish you out. Because it's one at a time, everybody. So when they then come to the conclusion that they were all filled with the Spirit, he's talking about each one of them having the flame on them, and they are now all filled with the Holy Spirit. So you cannot operate under the anointing of the person sitting next to you. You've got to get your own baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it is on each of them that he rested. I'm going to move quickly. It's very difficult to preach all this in 15 minutes, I will tell you that. So we take it as a seed of the Word of God, because that is what the Word of God is always like. It's a seed. You take it with you and you walk on it, and the seed of God will expand it in your heart and it will become life, and then it will change us. Three things that they share together that I want to focus our attention on: fellowship, teaching, and prayers. When they meet together as a community, they share fellowship, teaching, and prayers. Now, let's start with fellowship, because we are looking at individual now. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 1 John 1, 3 to 4. When John was talking to the believers, he said, all these things that we have heard, all these things that we have spoken about, he said, we are telling you again so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, don't miss that. So we come together to have fellowship together. But really, truly, our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. What that means is this. Practically speaking, when I wake up this morning, I know I'm going to come here to have fellowship. Now, this fellowship can be when two or three people are gathered. This is talking about life group, when you are small, or when you are meeting with another Christian sister or brother. That is fellowship, because God is there. It also goes to when we are gathered like this, in a large gathering, where the Bible says, unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. Any fellowship at all, where you meet up with other Christians. Before that happens, you must be in fellowship with God the Father and Jesus his Son through the Holy Spirit. So practically speaking, I'm coming here this morning to have fellowship with you, my brothers and sisters. But when I woke up this morning, I have already had fellowship. Because when the Bible says, I will enter into his gate with thanksgiving in my heart, I will come into his court with praise. He's not talking about that blue gate. That is not when I enter into fellowship with God. I have already entered into fellowship because I have my devotion this morning. I have already spoken to God the Father this morning. I have already prayed. I have already read a scripture, a little bit of scripture, because there is no time to go into too much studying for this morning. And because I am already in fellowship, when I come into the gathering of the children of God, and you are in fellowship. What a wonderful and powerful fellowship that is. Now, we cannot operate in a vacuum. So if you just roll out of bed this morning, no prayer, no devotion, nothing, you roll out, you come in, of course you are in fellowship. You are in fellowship with yourself. And that is when self is manifested. Because everything that has happened, there is no impact of the Spirit in your fellowship this morning. That is when you come into the fellowship of believer, and it is easy to give offense and to take offense. Are we getting it? Because when we are in fellowship with Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, when we have the fruit of the Spirit already, before I come into your midst, it's already there. It's already there. When I then get into the midst of my brothers and sisters, what comes out of me is whatever I bring from the fellowship I have already had. You see, it is not when you come here that we have to then kickstart you and push you and, you know, the band are trying to start you up and get you into the presence of God, and that is when you notice that the keyboard is not in harmony with, because you are not there. When we are already in fellowship, we come with a song in our heart. You're already singing before Trevor starts singing. That is the way it ought to be. And whose responsibility is that? Mine. It's mine. I've got to give time to devotion with God. I've got to give time to fellowship with God. Because it's going to impact on the way I fellowship with my brothers and sisters when I come into the community. There is nobody else responsible for that. I've got to set time for it. And when we pray and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us, it's going to do it. It leads us to the second one, which is teaching. Now, teaching is when you pay attention to the words that God has spoken. When you pay attention to the Bible, teaching. I am aware, of course, that God has given gifts to the body of Christ, and some are teachers. We know that. But the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was going in the book of John, when he was speaking to his disciples, he told them, he said, when this Spirit comes, he's going to teach you all things. He's going to remind you of all things. He's going to help you. He's, the greatest teacher is inside of you, the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to the studying of the Word of God, we have to devote time, personal time, to get to study this Word. This is where you get to know the person that has called you. I told you that in the book of Mark, Jesus called his disciples first to be with him and then to send them out. He called them first to be with him and then to send them out. You see, when Jesus called you as an individual, he called you first to be with him. And how do you get to know him? It is by getting to know the written word of God. It is by putting this Bible into you as much as you can. I told you that I've already looked at the scripture this morning. Practical way to help us. I have this YouTube, you version on my phone. So when I wake up in the morning, you know, in those periods of in and out of sleep and all that, I just look at it. I look at the verse for the day. Today is, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lay down his life for his sheep. I looked at that. And then I started to pray. And the Spirit God began to tell me. Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he said, oh, I remember. When David was taking care of the sheep. And he said, the lion came and the bear came. And then he was able to protect the sheep. And I'm thinking, and I'm worshiping God. I'm beginning to pray. I said, thank you, Lord, because you are my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, because anything that I face today, I have you looking after me. Because, you know, sheep are very vulnerable. They don't know they are right from their level. You are my good shepherd. You love me so much that you gave... Look, this is it. It leads me straight into the presence of God. And what am I doing? I'm praying as well. We come to that in a minute. But when it comes to the reading of the Word of God, it is our personal responsibility. Now, I need to point this out to us. The Bible tells us that when we first give our life to Christ, we will desire the milk of the Word. Because, you know, babies have to take it milk form as we are growing. And then later, the Bible expects us to eat strong meat. So it is not how many times have you been coming into church. Let us please examine ourselves carefully and be truthful. Are you still in the zone of taking milk? Or are you now feeding on solid when it comes to the Word of God? This is how you take milk. If you are still in the arena of just reading one verse a day, you're not going to grow. I'm not being judgmental. It's not going to help you. If all you do is to take a word, a verse a day, and you expect to grow, it's not going to happen. You need to find time. Now, you need to see the way your body system works. Some of us, when we finish work in the day, we hit the bed, the next minute we are snoring. Sorry, my husband, that's him. 1 minute we are talking, the next minute... How can that happen? Because when I get into bed, oh my God, 2 hours, I'm still awake. Because I'm so hyper during the day, it takes time for me to slow down. And I use that time to study the Word. I read the Bible... I go through the reading through the year. I've got that. And at times there will be plans that, you know, little plans, 7 days, 14 days plans. I read that. And as I read all those ones, and then I start praying on that which I have read. I pray it. I pray for people. I pray for myself. I pray for as many as the Spirit of God is telling me. So now I have had an extended fellowship with God. That is where growth comes from. We cannot grow by just skimping through the Bible. You cannot just be glancing at it and expect this word to become flesh. It doesn't happen that way. We have to be intentional in the way we approach this book. And another thing I want to tell us is, anytime you come in contact with the Bible, you see, the Bible makes it very clear that the heart that we bring is what we receive the word. So the parable of the sower talks about different type of heart that we have. It talks about the stony one, the one by the roadside, the one that is filled with anxiety, and the good one. because he likes in our hearts to soil. So anytime you approach the Bible, whether you are reading it personally or you are reading it, maybe you are listening to me now, the word of God is coming out, you have come with one of those type of four hearts. Do we get it? As we are sitting down here listening to the word, we have one of those four. It's either as you are listening, it's just going by the wayside, or because you have not taken time to pray before you come, your heart is very hard. It's full of stuff that the Bible talks about in the book of James. You know, it talks about filth, evil things that we have to remove so that we can take in the word of God. Or you have a heart that has a lot of things going on. You're thinking of so many things. So even as the word is coming out, you are receiving it, but it's getting choked off because you are thinking of so many things. Or you may have a heart that is good. You are expectant. You have prepared. And as this word is coming out, you are receiving it. This happens when we go before the Lord to study the Bible as well. Please don't pick this Bible like a novel when you want to read it. Even if you are reading it on your phone, please do not approach it as if you are looking at English literature book. This is a living word. This is the word of life. Can we please pray anytime we want to read the word of God? Even if it's on our computer, you just have to close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, as I open this word to read it, let this word be open to me. Let it not become ordinary letter. Let the spirit and the life in this word be revealed to me. That is the right approach to do it. Because the Bible tells us that we have to prepare our heart to receive the word of God. If you have done that, now if we come together either on Zoom, life group, or in the church, or you are listening to the word of God on the radio, your heart is good. It's going to receive the word of God. And the Bible says when you have a heart that is expectant and is prepared, that word is going to germinate and bring forth fruits. That is our personal responsibility. We must take the word of God seriously, because that is how we get to know the person that has called us. And the word of God and prayer, they go side by side. You know, I've already started talking about it. There is no way you are going to read the word of God that you're not going to burst into prayer. It's either you are reading Psalm that says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then you read that Psalm and you look around and you burst into prayer of thanksgiving and worship. You are great, Lord. You are majestic, Lord. Indeed, you are a glorious God. Or when you read about the Psalms that said, he's the one that forgave all your sins. He daily loaded you with benefits. How will you read that Psalm? And you will not burst forth with the prayer of thanksgiving. So say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming this soul of mine. Thank you, Lord, for daily loading me with benefits. Or when you read the one that said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. You get a spring in yourself to say, yes, I received the newness of God this morning. I have received the new strength from God this morning. You can face the world. But you see, we have problem in prayer because we don't have enough of the word of God in us, and we don't know the person to whom we have fellowship with. If I don't know you, and we find ourselves in the same room, you say, hello, hello. Nice weather, yeah. Oh, how are you doing? I'm fine. There's nothing to talk about because I don't know you. But just imagine talking to your friend. In those days when I have time, I'm very busy now, but in those days, I used to have time in some days, you know. I'll put the phone on, I'll be preparing dinner, I'll be on the phone to my friend. 1 hour, 30 minutes, we're chatting. The phone is burning into my head, we're chatting. We start with, how was your day? Oh, yeah, this is what happened. And then we move to the children. Oh, yeah. Where did you get that shoe from for Paul the last time? Oh, yeah. And then we move to our husband and we move. By the time we finish, the phone is ringing in my ears. 1 hour, 30 minutes. That is the way it's supposed to be when you talk to God. He is your friend. How can you be in the presence of your friend and you don't know what to talk about? Maybe that is because you have not developed the friendship with him. You don't know him. Please get to know God. Get to know him enough so that when you come to the place of prayer, you don't lack words. Now, in the book of Matthew and Luke, where it's recorded the Lord's Prayer, the one most of us like to pray. This is how it started. Luke 11 verse 1, all the disciples came to him and said, teach us how to pray. Just as John taught his disciple, teach us, the word U.S., teach us how to pray. Just as he taught his disciple, John. And in the book of Matthew, the Bible recorded that Jesus was then saying, when you pray. And then he gets one, he said, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Heavenly Father. What Jesus is trying to tell them, okay, I'm teaching you generally now how to pray, but really, personal prayer is the most important thing. This is the one you do yourself. This is the place of growth. The place of personal devotion is where growth happens. It doesn't happen in the 15 minutes gathering that we do here. It doesn't happen when we pray together with people generally. Personal growth is developed in the place of personal devotion. You see, when you shut the door on yourself, not literally, because most of us don't have closet to shut it. It means one-to-one. One-to-one with God. When you are one-to-one with God, you discuss real stuff. That is when the Holy Spirit of God will begin to expose you to you. That is when the Word of God will come to instruct you, to correct you, to encourage you. A place of personal prayer. That is when we battle with God on our knees. It is not done in public. Growth can never be achieved in public. So we have to develop that. And then when we come together, you see, I have a personal altar of prayer. Paul has a personal altar. You've got a personal altar. When we come together as a church, and I come to her and I say, we want to pray for our country, UK. Do you think it's going to take long before you fire? Before I even finish the prayer point you are on? Because you're already alive and burning. Do we get it? Because you already have fire on your altar. It is not the length of time you pray. It is the consistency and the fact that you do it every time. I'm not asking you to go now tomorrow and say, I want to pray 1 hour. Please, just start gradually. Let it be regular. Let it be consistent. Because the more you study the word, the more you pray, the more your vocabulary in the spiritual world increases. The more you know more things to pray about, the more you know more stuff to discuss with God when you meet with him personally. And then the last one, I think the last one talks about sharing. He said they share with each other. And if anybody is in need, they will sell their property and they will share with each other. Can I tell you that a community that are able to get to that point is a community where grace is in abundance. It's a community where there is freedom. It's a community where people feel safe. Because you see, it would be very strange for me to discuss my lack with you if I don't have grace and freedom. Are we getting it? If I come into this community now, I can only begin to discuss my personal issues with you, my lack, because that is what they were doing. They tell each other their lack. I can only do that where grace is, where safety is, where I know I am in the company of brothers and sisters, where there is love, the love of God, the one that does not keep record of evil. So there is grace to give, and there is grace to receive. That is the community that we want really Baptist Church to be. And it can only happen if we, as an individual, we have done our own work very well, so that when we come together, it is a gathering of grace. It's a gathering of the love of God, and people are able to open up. And when we do that, See what happened in the book of Acts. Number one, there is signs and wonders. Miraculous things begin to happen in such community. The power of God is made manifest in such community. In the community of believers, where the teaching of the word of God, prayers and fellowship are all right and in place, powerful things happen. And then growth happens. The Bible said that the Lord added to their fellowship daily. Every day there is growth. It means that it is a community that is able to impact beyond their gathering. They are able to have impact on the world outside. And the way they operate and conduct themselves, people respond to it, and the Lord adds to their fellowship. So there is growth. Don't we want that? Of course we want that. But you see, it rests in our hands. It is a matter for us. It is a matter of personal responsibility to say, yes, God, I am going to rededicate my life to you again. When Paul was talking in the book of Philippians, he was talking about who he was. When you talk about the Jews of the Jews, is one. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Is this, is that, is that. But he said, I counted all those things as lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is better for me to know Jesus Christ than all these things. He said, and I turn my back on anything that I may have achieved. Please, if you are sitting here and you think you are a Christian, you've been knowing, you've known God for 45, 50 years, turn your back on that. Press forward. Leave that. Press forward. He said, I keep pressing on. We keep knowing him. He said that I may know him. The fellowship of his suffering that is made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. That is the cry. After all that, after all your achievements this morning, can you cry out like Paul did? I want to know him. I want to know this person that has called me. I want to devote my time. I want to shift. I want to move on. I want to get on to know him. And the Lord will not ignore that kind of a cry. He listens to that kind of a cry. And he will walk along with us. And things will begin to happen in our personal life and in our fellowship as a community. To the glory of his name. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is a Bible verse I want to read over us. It is a prayer. And it is also a conclusion. It is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the believers with respect to their spiritual growth. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. This is Paul talking. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church. Glory to him in Raleigh Baptist community and in Christ Jesus through all generation, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you.